Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in to our weekly podcast here at First United Methodist Church, Murfreesboro. I'm Trey Carey, the lead pastor of Modern Worship. We hope this week's message connects with you and helps you connect with God. If you'd like more information about how to get connected at FUMC, you can visit our website, fumcm.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FUMCBoro. We also hope you'll consider joining us at one of our four weekly worship services at 8:30 and 11 a.m. on Sundays, both in the sanctuary and in the Family Life Center. First United Methodist Church is a warm and welcoming community of people committed to the idea of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him. We hope this week's message helps you in your own personal journey towards knowing, loving, and serving Christ in your life. I want to start this morning with a little bit of did you know, kind of some fun facts for you. Maybe if you're at the restaurant doing the trivia game, I know there's some folks here that like to do that. Just some little did you knows about the body, the human body. Did you know that the human body, you probably already knew this, but I had to learn this week. Did you know that the human body has 206 bones in it? You knew that? Did you know that the human body has 639 muscles? Did you know that there are 78 organs in the human body? 5 vital organs, but 78 organs. This was an interesting one and kind of gross when you think about it. This was the number 6 pounds of skin on the human body, give or take, 6 pounds. There are countless other numbers. Countless ligaments and arteries and veins and blood vessels and blood cells and fat cells and cartilage. And did you know that every time the body performs even a simple task like breathing or smiling or taking a step or taking a bite, hundreds, if not thousands, of different body parts work together as a single unit to animate and to perpetuate life as we know it. And just like everything else we've been talking about for the last few weeks, it's all this gift from God. This is week 5, the 5th and final week of this series that we've been doing here in the Modern Service called The Gift. And for the entire month of January, instead of talking about New Year's resolutions, what we've been talking about is what I like to call New Year's revelation. The way that I defined that is revelation as God sharing the gift of God's presence and God's provision and God's purpose with God's people. And so we've been talking about how God shares that gift in so many different ways, that God shares this gift through His creation. God shares this gift through His Word. For the last few weeks, we've talked about how God shares this gift through the sacraments of holy baptism and holy communion. And so today we're going to finish up this conversation by talking about how God reveals Himself through His people, through people like you and me. I want to talk with you very specifically about how God reveals Himself through the unity and diversity of this community that the Bible calls the body of Christ. How it consists of those who are like us and those who are not like us. The title of my sermon this morning is The Gift of One and Other. And the scripture that we're going to look at is this scripture that is a pretty famous passage of scripture, Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. I'm going to read for you 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I hope that what you'll hear, I've got 3 takeaways for you that I hope will help us kind of learn more about how to share this gift of one and other. And the first one is about unity. Here's the first point. Unity in the body of Christ is found in the gift of one. Listen to what Paul says. He says, just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. So you see, this idea of unity, this concept of unity is God's gift of oneness. Oneness in the midst of things that are unique and different. God begins by revealing himself. God reveals himself to us as a God who is three in one. One God, three unique persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, who exist in this eternal relationship of self-giving love. And then in the same way, God reveals to us that we are called to be one body, one church, consisting of many unique members. And we exist together within the relationship, these relationships of self-giving love. And these relationships are different than any other relationships that we have, any other kind of relationships in existence. Paul talks about Jews, Gentiles, slaves, free, men, women, all these different people baptized by and given this one Spirit by one God, one faith, one purpose through Christ. Christ is what unites us. It's what brings us together. Nowhere else in the culture of that day would all these different kinds of people and groups of people be able to come together. And still today, people with different backgrounds, different walks of life, people with different tax brackets and worship styles and political views, we all come together and worship the same God. We maintain our uniqueness while becoming one in Christ. That's what unity is about. Here's another little did you know. I bet you've gone to a wedding before and you've seen this big candle that the couple lights. It's called the unity candle, right? You seen that before? And so there's two little candles on the side that are lit, and the bride and the groom, they take the two candles and then they come together in the center and they light that unity candle, right? And then they put the little candles back in their place. And there's a lot of symbolism in that. And what it symbolizes is that the two are becoming one, right? The two candles come together to form one flame. That's this picture of unity. But another part that's really symbolic and really important to know is that those two little candles stay lit. And there's a purpose for that. Because the purpose is that just as they're coming together to become one, they're maintaining their own individuality too. They're maintaining their own uniqueness. And that's important for us to remember when we understand unity. This kind of brings me to my second point. I'm going to talk about diversity. There's unity and then there's diversity. Number two, diversity in the body of Christ is found in the gift of other. Paul continues, he says, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. See, the important thing that we need to remember is that unity is not uniformity. Let me say that one more time. I think that's really important. Unity is not uniformity. Sometimes I think we mistake uniformity for unity. And in fact, uniformity can kind of create this superficial unity. Sometimes that even happens in the church. Sometimes when we talk about unity in the church, what we really mean is that we want other people that we view as other, we want them to look like us, to think like us, to worship like us, to act like us, to be like us. And that's unity. But the unity that the Bible teaches us celebrates the uniqueness of every member of the body. Diversity brings together and it holds in good tension this gift of oneness and this gift of otherness coming together in unity. If we all looked the same, if we all thought the same, if we all had the same gifts and the same expressions and the same passions, then where would the body be, as Paul said? The body would be out of balance. I think one of the greatest gifts of the body of Christ is that I am not you and you are not me. But you and I become we, and we are better together because we're different. Let me give you an example of that. Today, right now, in the traditional service, Chrislyn, one of our other pastors, is preaching, and she's preaching this very same passage of Scripture, the same idea of the body of Christ, and she's doing it in a totally different way than I am. We got together this week and kind of collaborated and shared notes, and so one of the things that she wanted to talk about, she's probably talking about it right now, she wanted to use this analogy of cooking. She loves to cook. She's passionate about cooking, and she's going to talk about all the different ingredients that are unique that come together to form something really, really wonderful, right? But cooking is not necessarily one of my passions or my loves, so I wanted to take a little bit different direction. Some of you know one of my passions is coffee, right? So I found this great video this week that kind of illustrates this. I want you to watch it with me.
How do we define the word unity? After all, we hear it all the time. Unity in jobs, unity in our schools, and unity in our church. But what is the implication behind the word? Is it nothing more than a group of people working, learning, or worshiping together, loosely linked by a common goal or belief? Perhaps unity begins as nothing more than an empty cup. A framework created to house something bigger than itself. A vehicle built to contain a combination of ingredients, each with their own special qualities that make them unique. Each consisting of elements and properties that make it perfectly suited to fulfill its purpose. Together, each piece makes its own valuable contribution, regardless of its use as a singular item. Individually, each element is by no means worthless, but when combined together by the hands of a skilled creator, they become something wonderful. A delicious blend of unity.
I don't know about you, but that made me want to go get a cup of coffee. I share that with you because I think that's such a great picture of unity, at least one that I can wrap my mind around, that it's something bigger than me. But I have an important part to play in the process and in the result. That's what I want you to hear from this today, that we all have an important part to play to help the body function the way that it was created to. There's something that only you can do, that no one else can do in the exact same way that you can do it. Because God has created us uniquely, not just for ourselves, but to be in relationship and community with one another. No one else has the same ingredients that you do. Your personality, your experience, your strengths, your struggles. And when we really believe that, when we learn that together in relationship, when we learn together to receive God's gift of diversity, then it begins to deliver us from those tendencies that keep us from living into who God created us to be. those things like comparison, competition, coveting what others have or what you think others have that you don't have. God's gift of diversity reminds us that we are all uniquely created in the image of God. It's what binds us together, but it's what also is what makes us unique. On an even larger scale, God's gift of diversity celebrates the uniqueness of not only you and me, but the uniqueness of those who we might otherwise see as other. Receiving God's gift of diversity breaks down those walls that separate us as people created in the image of God. Those things that keep us from experiencing the joy of true community. Things like racism and classism, sexism, a whole lot of other isms. Those things that say you're different than me and so we can't be in relationship together. See, I think true community happens when unity through diversity, we embrace the gift of uniqueness as members of the body of Christ. This gets me to my third and final point. Number three, community in the body of Christ is the gift of one and other. Paul says, the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. And I love this verse. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. I learned an interesting fact this week while I was preparing for the message. Here's another little did you know. This metaphor that Paul uses for the body of Christ, I don't know about you, but I always thought that this was something that Paul came up with himself to communicate, you know, to kind of describe the church to people in that culture. But what I learned this week was that this idea of the body was this commonly used analogy in the ancient world, but it was used in a very different way. It was used to defend the class system. And so the way it was commonly used was that there were certain parts of the body that were more important than others. And so it was used to tell people how to accept their role within the hierarchy of the body. So you see, Paul takes this well-known analogy and he turns it upside down and he uses it to say that all parts of the body are equally important. And then he even goes a step further to say that it is the responsibility of the different parts to take care of each other. Kind of an all-for-one and one-for-all kind of idea. And this was drastically different than the other messages in the ancient world. See, this is how the church exists and operates differently than any other organization or institution. Not only are we called to take care of each other, we're called to take care of those who are outside of the body, if you will. In 1931, Archbishop William Temple had this to say about the body of Christ. He said, "The church is the only institution that exists primarily for the benefit of those who are not its members." Then in 1943, Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, "The church is the church only when it exists for others. Not dominating, but helping and serving. It must tell men of every calling what it means to live for Christ, to exist for others." So let me ask you this. Does this describe the church in 2019? How about the church at 265 West Thompson Lane? And what could that look like for you and me, for we here at the church? How does this play out in our lives and in our church? Well, I believe that it plays out through this thing that we call membership. This passage of Scripture really totally changed my perspective of this word that we use a lot called membership, what a member is. When we talk about being a member of a church, it's not like being a member of a club or being a member of a gym. Being a member is being a member of the body, a part of a community who is called to make a difference for Christ and for His kingdom. It's not about privileges or requirements for an organization. It's about the healthy functioning of a living organism. And when we do the things that God calls us to do, the organism lives and thrives. And when we don't, the organism shrinks and dies. Here's my last little did you know for the morning. Did you know that the human body has five major systems? The central nervous system, the circulatory system, the digestive system, the skeletal system, and the respiratory system. These five systems perform functions that enable and allow the body to function properly. And as I thought about that this week, I thought, you know, there are some things that, in the same way as members of the body of Christ, there are specific functions that enable and allow us, the body, to function properly. In the United Methodist Church, the membership vows that we take talk about five things: prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. I believe our calling as members of a body are to live out those five things as the major functions of the church. Praying, presencing, gifting, servicing, witnessing. These are action verbs. Now, I know that some of you, if you were here in December, you may remember me sharing that one of my New Year's resolutions was to stop making up words that turned nouns into verbs. But if you were here in January, you may also remember me sharing that most New Year's resolutions fail by the end of January. So I didn't make it that long, but I thought it was worth it today because I think that these five words, they can't be just words. We have to know that there's meaning behind them. That we need to be praying for one another and with one another. That we need to be presencing. That we need to be showing up and participating. Not just in worship, although that's a great place to start, but we need to be in communion and relationship with one another. Yesterday I was here at the church for a young man who is a member of our church who was getting his Eagle Scout award, and he was being honored. And I was given the honor of coming and giving the opening invocation. And as I stood up, I stood right here and looked out. There were other members of our church, not family members, but members of the church that were there for this young man to celebrate with him. I was reminded of that passage where Paul says, if one rejoices, then we all rejoice. If one suffers, then we all suffer. I think it's always a comfort when I stand before a group of people and I'm doing a funeral, that I look out and see members of the church that are there in support of that person who is going through that time of pain. It's important for us to be present for one another. Prayers, presence, gifting. This is not just giving, it's gifting. It's using our gifts for the greater good, to serve, which is the next one. We're called to be in service together, and we're called to witnessing. We're called to share our faith, not necessarily with words, but with the way that we live our life and the way that we do life together. So I want to leave you this morning with the way that Paul closes this passage of Scripture. These are powerful words to the church then and to the church now. Paul says this: now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, miracles, healing, helping, guidance, different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret. All these, all these images of unity and diversity in the community. And Paul's challenge to them and to us is to eagerly desire the greater gifts. What a great way to end this series called The Gift. To be reminded of the gifts that God has given us to share with one another and the world around us. At the beginning of this series, I shared a quote with you. I want to share it again today. What you are is God's gift to you. What you become is your gift to God. As we close this series, I want to change a few of those words around so that it addresses us as the body, as a community, not just individuals. This is what I believe. The body of Christ is God's gift to us and to the world. And what we as the body become for one another and for the world is our gift to God. I believe that when we live out our identity in Christ as the body of Christ, then the gift of God's presence and provision and purpose is revealed to those around us through you and me. Amen. Amen. This song that we're going to sing, this closing song, says, I will build my life on your love. You know, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 12 ends, and then Paul says, let me show you a most excellent way. And it goes into 1 Corinthians 13, which you may know is the chapter about love. It says, if I speak in the tongues of angels but don't have love, I'm nothing. If I do all this, if I do all that, but I don't have love, what does it matter? Love is what brings us together. It binds us together. We love one another as Christ loves us. It is the foundation on which our lives and our church is built on. So I want to invite you to stand right now, if you would. We're going to pray together. And then I want to invite you to sing these words with me. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. The altars are going to be open. If you want to come and pray, you can pray for as long as you like about whatever you'd like. If you'd like somebody to pray with you, Zach and I would love to do that. But let's continue to worship together. Would you pray with me? God, we give thanks for the gift of your presence, your provision, your purpose in our lives, in our relationships, in our circumstances, in our world. God, we thank you that your love is unconditional. It's selfless and sacrificial. It's life-changing and it's world-changing. God, I pray this morning that we would open our hearts to receive that love and to share it with those around us, to build our lives and to build your church on the firm foundation of the love of God in Jesus Christ through the power of your Holy Spirit. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.